This is University Forum. I'm Gene Moore, bringing you conversations with outstanding personalities on issues of interest to local, national, and international communities. Our topic today, natural medicine. My guest, Dr. Raymond Bay, a naturopathic doctor and a doctor of Siddha medicine who's certified in both modalities. Welcome to University Forum, Dr. Bay. It's a pleasure to have you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And to meet you in person, because I know you're one of our regular listeners.
Yes, I do. 6 o'clock in the morning, yes. I do turn into University Forum and listen.
Well, I'm delighted that you're here. And you have such an interesting topic, natural medicine. Is that the best way to phrase that?
Yeah. I think for me, it was always since childhood, this understanding that the Creator put something on the earth to cure anything. And so it always was a search for me to find cures or treatments for all sorts of imbalances, because that's what health is. It's about balance.
Well, if you say it's natural medicine, is this a way of having a natural balance? How does that work?
Well, it's the idea is that there is nothing that's going to cure you. It is the idea that we should try the best that we can to promote the natural healer inside of us. So when you were a little girl and you cut your finger and your finger healed, it was the natural healer inside of you. So natural medicine is about bringing out the natural healing inside of you by removing a lot of the imbalances that might prevent that from occurring.
But if my finger got a lot of dirt in it and it got infected, what would happen then?
Oh, for sure. You know, there are a lot of natural remedies that go to help to promote the immune system to fight different kinds of imbalances. So most people, when they hear a cough, they reach for vitamin C, because people understand that there are natural things that will help to build their immune system, and that's your natural healer.
Mm. Now, you've been involved in this for some time, and you have different dimensions to it. Like you mentioned, you're a doctor of Siddha medicine as well as naturopathic doctor. What is that, and how did this come about?
Well, it's interesting. You know, from my childhood, understanding that there were things on the earth, I discovered Siddha medicine, and they really defined my medicine for me. What Siddhas say is medicine means that which ensures physiotherapy. Medicine means that which ensures psychotherapy. Medicine means that which ensures prevention against disease. Medicine means that which ensures prevention against death. So the Siddhas had a whole system of medicine. Actually, they're a group of people that lived probably 5,000 years ago in India. And their system of medicine uses first cleansing, and then they say never put medicine into a dirty body. Then they promote healing with different kinds of remedies.
How did you learn this?
Siddha medicine is something that I started studying. I started studying natural medicines in 1992. First, I started studying energetic medicine. So people know about Reiki and Seikim and Kuan Yin magnified healing and those sort of modalities that use touch and signs and signals to promote healing within the body. Then I moved to a traditional medicine, homeopathy, homotoxicology, studying with groups like HEAL and different kinds of organizations that promote homeopathy in this country, and homotoxicology, which is an offshoot of homeopathy. Finally, I came to know about Siddha medicine through our research, and I contacted a doctor in New York who was here from India, and he put me in contact with a school in India where I studied for a couple of years. The whole regimen for Siddha medicine. And that gave me my basic foundation for medicine and how we should use medicine as sort of an adjunct to health. It is not medicine that cures you. It is medicine that helps you to cure yourself.
Now, you say homeopathic medicine. Isn't there a school of medicine that gives a degree in that?
Yes. That's Samuel Hahnemann's came up with homeopathy, like cures like. It's real interesting because now with the whole advent of genomic testing and research, they've defined a number of genomic tests to understand if you are predisposed to certain kinds of conditions, so that they can do a genomic test to show if you are predisposed to heart disease or diabetes. And they're using these to provide people with proactive paths to prevent the descent down into these kinds of conditions. Well, Samuel Hahnemann, years and years ago, developed a theory that he called miasms. Miasms are conditions in the body caused by the disease of an ancestor. So what he noticed was people, if their grandmother or before had certain kinds of diseases, then people were born with certain kind of weaknesses. So he might say that if your grandmother or before had syphilis, then you're going to have eye disease. And he developed the whole theory around miasms. And so while they're doing now genomic testing to find out where people are predisposed to, he did that many years ago.
And that, of course, still is a school.
Yes, homeopathy is one of the modalities that was exempted that is still used and I believe compensated for by the insurance companies.
Now, you did not take a degree in medicine as we define traditional medicine.
There's ND, we're naturopathic doctor, there's MD or medical doctors. For a medical doctor or an MD degree, you must go to medical school. I always thought that medicine was a symphony. So I wanted to study different modalities because I thought all of them had something to offer. So I sort of reviewed everything that I could see or find that related to healing and medicine. So from every perspective, you know, there was a guy who lived, his name was Raymond Ruhl Rife. Rife developed an electron microscope. And what he did was he studied disease cells. When he saw a disease cell, he used a frequency device. He would program it for the kill frequency for these different kinds of germs or bacteria. And he developed a whole protocol for curing disease or dealing with different kinds of infections. Or what he observed was he saw a bacteria turn to a virus, to a fungi. He would develop different frequencies for killing them. So This whole thing of electromedicine became something that interested me a great deal. The Reiki is more frequency using hands. Electromedicine is more using electrical currents, you know, to balance the body.
Now, that is being used a bit today.
It's really a big deal because people definitely understand that we are electrical by nature. So when people talk about pH, they talk about acidic versus alkaline conditions, they're talking about actually the level of oxygen that we have in our bodies. So when you're acidic, you know, that's when people get sick. There was a guy named Otto Warburg who won a Nobel Prize in 1931 for demonstrating what is the environment of a cancer cell. What he showed was that a cancer cell is an anaerobic cell, a cell that doesn't have enough oxygen. So in a laboratory, if you want to turn a cell into a cancer cell, you deprive it of oxygen. And so what they were able to understand that the higher the pH or the more oxygenated the body is, then the more we're able to ward off any kind of infection. So this guy named Dr. Keith Brewer was able to demonstrate that if you can get your pH level above 8 or above, cancer cells cannot live within you.
Why has that not developed into a more useful tool, so to speak, today?
It has. Actually, it's really interesting because a lot of things are being discovered in natural medicine that we simply never knew. Like from genomic, we know that 40% of people cannot break down folic acid. We know folic acid is a B vitamin that is very important. Women need to take it, you know, to prevent defects in children. So folic acid is absolutely essential to us for a lot of reasons, but we know now that 40% of people can take a truckload of folic acid, but they can't break it down. So we're understanding a lot of things. In the area of pH, we just discovered an element in the soil that actually was discovered in the 1940s. It's called cesium. Cesium is the most alkalizing substance known to man. It used to be something that was in our soil so that we had it in our water, we had it in our food. So people always talk about, well, people used to live a long time. Well, cesium is one of the most alkalizing substances that we know. So people are using it, researchers are using it, science is using it to treat people with all sorts of conditions. And because it is so alkalizing, once you can get the body to a certain alkaline level, diseases seem to resolve themselves.
But in the example about the cancer, where it appears as if that could be a major breakthrough, Do you know what has developed around that?
Well, there are so many worlds of medicine. So there are a lot of medical doctors in this country that are using cesium in their protocols. I certainly know a few of them, but there is a sort of a fear in people that they don't want to take on the pharmaceuticals companies. So therefore, they use these things more behind the scenes. And so there is a knowledge that exists in medicine of these different kinds of therapies that people are promoting, but not openly.
I guess some of it is not understanding all of the different dimensions to it, of what you mentioned in the beginning. What's the difference, for example, between
naturopathy versus homeopathy? Naturopathy is the study of natural remedies. So naturopaths don't, for instance, use blood. You know, they use different herbs, and some of them actually use some homeopathic remedies to resolve health issues. They use diagnoses such as hair testing. So you can test someone's hair to find out a lot of what might be going on in their brain. They use iridology. They use saliva. People use urine. They use a lot of different kinds of body fluids or body parts to find out where an imbalance is, and they use herbs. Homeopathy was this. So Samuel Hahnemann, if you were bit by, say, a viper, he would take a bit of the viper from the poison from the viper, put it in 100 gallons of water, and what he saw succussing, he would shake it. Then he'd take a drop of that, put it in another 100 gallons of water, and shake it. So it was called succussing. And in succussing, he would, when you get above 6, that would be 2x. When you get above CX, there's 6x. There's actually no trace of the substance in it, but there's a remedy that he will give you if you were bit by the viper, and that should bring out the viper poison in you.
So these are ways in which you can treat illnesses. Do you use this yourself?
It's a way that people use to promote healing in the body. I mean, it's a symphony. You know, so I might give you a homeopathic remedy. I love these wonderful remedies from Germany called the Nessmann remedies. They came up because the Nessmann was a pharmacy, and they would put together these custom remedies for people. And they got enough of them so that they actually started selling them. So I use a lot of the Nessmann remedies for people. So if people, for instance, if a woman has morning sickness, I might give her a remedy among the Nessmann remedies. That
do you actually take on the position of a doctor who would treat people as they come to you, as they would go to any other physician?
Yeah, you know, the thing is that because as a naturopath, I don't really have an office. In the states that we are in, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, they don't license naturopaths. So I would have to go to some place like Connecticut or Nevada where to actually hang a shingle out. So people find me in a number of ways. Via the internet, people find me by word of mouth. So many people who do contact me find me because people know of me.
Now, you mentioned some states that actually license naturopaths.
Yes.
Why do you think that some states do not do this? Is this some misunderstanding on their part?
No, I think it is that naturopathy has never had the sort of support in the government that some of the other forms of medicine had. It was the idea that the first drug actually was the aspirin. It was synthesized from white willow bark. So people give people white willow bark instead of aspirin. But that was because homeopathy was becoming so successful in this country, the doctors in the pharmaceuticals industry decided that they should have something to compete against homeopathy. So it was the aspirin. So naturopathy never achieved the kind of political clout that medical doctors did.
You're listening to University Forum with my guest, Dr. Raymond Bay, a naturopathic doctor and a doctor of Siddha medicine. Can an illness be prevented through the use of natural medicine, actually preventing the illness?
Yeah, people talk, again, about enhancing the immune system. So people reach for vitamin C. Vitamin C is very interesting because it used to be that vitamin C is actually ascorbate. And it used to be that we had an enzyme in our liver that converted glucose to ascorbate. That's profound, because now there are four species on Earth that don't no longer make ascorbates or store them. That's man, apes, guinea pigs, and bats. And all of them have heart disease. So they know that ascorbates used to be something that we used to produce in our bodies, and it absolutely balanced the glucose level, which meant we couldn't get diabetes, we couldn't get what people call Syndrome X, which is a whole series of ailments that lead to diabetes. And in addition, vitamin C or ascorbates also are used for building the collagen matrix in our body. That's the connective materials in our bodies. So people definitely use vitamin C in a proactive basis to help prevent, you know, the onset of things. But the issue is enough. In nature, creatures produce 10 grams of vitamin C per 150 pounds of body weight. If you take 10 grams of ascorbic acid, you will never leave the bathroom. So we definitely need
the awesome deterrents.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. But people use buffered ascorbates, and they're able to tolerate them at a greater level.
Now, you mentioned four species. What happened?
It's the big question that so many people ask. You know, why don't we have certain things in the soil? What happened to man? Why can't we break down folic acid? Nobody really can answer those questions. It is, you know, it's a question that people talk about in terms of what is our true potential as humans. You know, if we had cesium in the soil and another element called rubidium, rubidium is an element that they give, is actually a mineral that they give to people for memory, so that they know rubidium used to be in the soil. There was a guy named Harry Eidenier. He did thousands of blood tests and hair tests, and he discovered that people who retained brain function well into the years had a higher level of rubidium in their hair. So they understand that rubidium is something that the mind actually uses. So you have cesium, you have rubidium. You have us with this enzyme. You know, I don't know. Mm. It is something that people, a lot of scientists are trying to understand. What happened? They call it a genetic mutation, so that we are no longer able to produce ascorbates, which are so important to our health.
Hmm. You mentioned the bats or mammals. They're interesting creatures.
Yeah, guinea pigs. Mm-hmm. So we no longer produce ascorbates. So we don't store them. We don't make them.
And now we have to buy it at the store.
We need to get it from somewhere. And we need to get it every day since we don't store it.
Hmm.
And you're talking about 10 grams per 150 pounds of body weight. That's a lot of ascorbates, buffered ascorbates you can use. But it's a lot. But we absolutely can use them. Linus Pauling developed a protocol with mega doses of ascorbic. He used buffered ascorbates and lysine. So he treated cancer, heart disease, diabetes, because what it does is it causes the veins and arteries to remain supple and so prevent scurvy, which is those mini cracks or those big cracks in the arteries and veins. And lysine helps to eat away the plaque. So using that protocol, he resolved a lot of issues with people.
Well, you have to stop and think now. We have different kinds of so-called traditional medicines at this point. To what extent are we completely separate in these things, the things you're talking about, and what we see as some of the problems in traditional or regular medicine, because there's a question as to what you call traditional and the ancient medicines.
Right, right.
What's the problem? Why haven't these two things
first,
come together?
When you think about pharmaceuticals or drugs, they are substances that can be patented. You can't patent vitamin C. So when you think about natural medicine, we usually use substances that are not patentable. You know, so echinacea or St. John's wort or these sorts of things. They are not something that pharmaceuticals companies are really interested in because they can't get a patent on them. Whereas in the pharmaceuticals industry, they have all these different substances, again, that they give to people and generate different kinds of conditions in the body.
Do you feel that patients who have a condition, any kind of an illness, whether cancer or multiple sclerosis or other, should have continuation with their regular physician as they also deal with some of the other medicines that you speak of?
Well, people, there is a tremendous movement in this country towards alternative, what people call alternative medicine. People talk about traditional or medical doctor or what we call the medical industry in this country as more of a business, and that they are not really interested in the therapies that have been developed over the years, for instance, for cancer, you know, radiation, chemotherapy, surgery. People want something different. So people are looking to try to find something that will help them to balance themselves so that they indeed can fight their own battle against these kinds of conditions.
Is this a question of them fighting the battle with help from different sources, or must it be one or the other? How do you deal with a person who has a doctor, yet they want some help beyond that? What happens? What do you do?
Well, I think people get to a point where they think or they feel that what they're doing is not making a difference. That's where I find a lot of people. You know, they call me because, you know, that they either have reached that point or they have seen someone else reach that point, and they're no longer interested in going that route. So they'll ask, you know, what can be done? And you put them on different kinds of protocols that help them. One of the things I bought today was I use a program called NutriBalance. What I do is I take a blood test, urine sample, or hair analysis, and I use a program to convert it into a program that will give you, actually will talk about you metabolically, where your weaknesses are, then provide for you a solution. It will give you dietary suggestions. It will give you nutrients to take. It will resolve these imbalances that succeeds in your blood, ostensibly within a 3-month period. It will give you a metabolic discussion to let you know if your parameters are out of balance, how they relate to one another. So it is a picture of your body as it is today.
Is this a diagnostic tool in a sense?
It is in a sense a diagnostic tool, mm-hmm. But what it is using what your body is saying. It's not trying to manufacture something out of a Merck manual. It actually is looking at what you are today. So there is a branch of medicine called functional medicine. What functional medicine says is this. Everybody on earth is born with a certain gene pool. That's your genotype. Washed against that are the experiences of your life. Your diet, your different kinds of stresses, everything you've experienced. Your genotype plus your life experiences create your phenotype. And your phenotype is unlike any other phenotype. And functional medicine says, and these are the tools that you use for treating your phenotype.
Does this say to you, or does it say to the audience, that they must give up whatever they're doing in order to use this particular approach?
No, actually, a lot of people use, I remember there's a Dr. Simone who talked about when people are taking chemotherapy that perhaps they should take high doses of vitamins to help counter the imbalances that might be created by some of these medications. So that, for instance, we know that people who take birth control pills delete folic acid from their body. So that if you are indeed taking these sorts of things, then you need to supplement heavily with something like folic acid.
So you see a working together in at times, at least.
Oh, yeah, definitely. People should try. Health is about balance. People should try to provide as much as they can to help the body to help itself. And that's what the idea of food as medicine is about. Most of what naturopathy involves are natural substances that people get from nature.
Now let's just take a moment and talk a little bit more about you. You started in a different field, though. You're a product of a different university.
Right. University of Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. Yeah, economics. Mm-hmm. From there, I joined IBM. So I became and still do a lot of consulting in the computer industry. But I always had a great love for law as well. So at Penn, I took a couple of semesters of constitutional law, and they told me I should go to law school, but I didn't do it. But I did become a certified paralegal. So law is a great love of mine as well.
In your computer world, you mentioned the possibility of computers being helpful as far as the voice and other
right.
kind of,
you
what's
know,
that all about?
All right, so there is a program out there. I saw it in Arizona a couple of years ago where you speak into a microphone, and based on your voice, they're able to diagnose imbalances in you. And what they do is they generate a sound. They generate a tape which you wear around your neck, and you listen to it, and it helps to balance you. You know, people use this. People use People have used the voice. So people use probes that they attach to different points of the body to read what the signals from your body. So people use a lot of different inputs from the body or outputs from the body to determine imbalances.
So the technology of the computer and that whole system is helpful in this.
Big time. You know, there is a system where what they will do is if you want to know if something is good for you, you put your hand on this probe and they'll put this something, whether it's a drug or a natural remedy, on this. And if it is good for you, there will be a bar that shows it's good for you. It'll be beneficial for your body. If it is not, it will show it will not be.
You know, one of the biggest criticisms, though, has been the lack of scientific evidence of some of these.
That's one of the things I bought. Every day, just about every day, I receive scientific reports on natural remedies. You know, today I received clinical research updates involving vitamin C, for instance, stronger evidence supporting the use of vitamin C in the treatment of patients with gout.
So what you're saying is that there is an attempt or some studies that are being done to
keep this through. There was an act passed in 1996 called the Deshe Act. The Deshe Act defined a new class of medicines called nutraceuticals. There are nutritionally based products that are made at the level of pharmaceuticals. Nutraceuticals, there are companies that make nutraceuticals that do as much research as any drug company on this earth. They have wonderful laboratories. They can tell you exactly what they give you and what it's going to do to the body.
So we should be looking at all of this rather than looking at one or the other as we go through trying to make a better, healthy body.
Yeah, no question. It's a symphony.
You mentioned one thing that we have very little time left, but something that you wrote about waking up from the dream. In 5 seconds, what could you say?
Well, it was this whole issue about the potential of the body, you know, with the cesium, with the ascorbates, with the rubidium, you know, these things that we always were meant to have in our diets. And these things help us to achieve a level of balance that we don't even know about anymore.
Well, I want to thank you so much, though, for coming to share this with our listeners and have you as a guest here on University Forum. Dr. Raymond Bay, a specialist in natural medicine. Thank you for being my guest.
Thank you.
University Forum. I'm Gene Moore, reminding you that there's only one you, so be sure to take good care of yourself. Please send your comments or questions on University Forum programs to me by email, jemoore@wrti.org, or call my voicemail, 215-204-4376.